For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Oklahoma Perspective. The new U.S. Secretary of Veteran Affairs is Trump nominee Robert Wilkie. Wilkie has held the office since last summer. Recently, KRMG's Russell Mills spent some time with the secretary, who explained that there are big changes coming to the VA.
You are the United States Secretary of Veterans Affairs.
I am, yes, sir.
And haven't been in the job that long, but you've been around that job for a while.
Well, 114 days came over from the Pentagon. I was General Mattis's Undersecretary of Defense, and came in to VA on the 1st of August.
And you've also had a long career in the military and several degrees from military colleges, as well as growing up in a family that's been in the military since, turn of the 19th century.
Yeah, a long time. Grew up on the other end of this state at Fort Sill and in Lawton. So it's always good to be in Oklahoma. My father, field artilleryman, and my great-grandfather, whom I talked about at Arlington Cemetery on Veterans Day, another field artilleryman. We have a very long history with this state and Lawton and Fort Sill.
So, no great surprise that you'd come back and visit Oklahoma, but I think you had other things on your mind than visiting family. I know that you went to the Muskogee VA Medical Center.
Yes.
And I believe, have you been to, or are you now headed to Ada?
Headed to Ada right now. Just came from the Benefits Center here in Muskogee. And I'm going to speak to the Chickasaw Nation tomorrow. As well as representatives of other nations, but was glad to be in Muskogee. I mean, it's our largest benefits center, and the hospital has made great strides, which shows you what you could do with good leadership. As we say in the military, leadership that actually walks the post and gets to know its people. You've talked about it. It's been written about it that they were looking at a five-star disaster there with the collapse of the hill right next to the center, but they admitted where the problems were, and they got with the Corps of Engineers. And I'm happy to say that problem's been fixed, and things are much better.
When you say the largest benefit center, you mean in Oklahoma?
Oh, in the country.
In the country.
So Muskogee sits at the center of a series of offices where everything from vocational rehabilitation benefits come through, the GI Bill comes through. Mm-hmm. So I'll just give you the personal side. My son is an engineering student at Clemson University. He receives my post 9/11 GI Bill benefits. This is his second year in college. Those benefits are adjudicated and sent out from here in Muskogee. So it is a huge, huge portion of what we do at VA. And you know, with the medical center and with the benefits center, that's about 3,000 employees right here in Muskogee.
And you oversee what, 360,000, something like that?
370,000.
It keeps going up.
143 hospitals, 1,200 clinics. About 9 million veterans out of the 20 million come through the VA and are eligible for VA services, including the Secretary of Defense himself, who uses the VA when he's home in Washington State.
So one thing I did want to make sure and ask you about, and I know we don't have a whole lot of time.
Well, take your time.
Is this statement that just came out about the DOD and the VA sort of, and since you mentioned Secretary Mattis, that's what made me think of it, a commitment to transition from an old patient data system to a new one.
Yes.
That sounds like it's going to actually integrate the health records from the Defense Department with the VA. It seems to me like that would have been a no-brainer like a long time ago.
Well, we sit on the other end of the national security continuum. Mm-hmm. We get people like my father after 30 years of service. What this does, and Secretary Mattis and I have both signed an agreement, we're committed to it because we've experienced it, is the moment that a young American walks into that military entrance processing station, a record starts to be built. So when that young American or older American, if it's like my father, decides to leave the military, in his case, retire, there is a seamless transition into the VA system. So the other part of this that is very important is that it's interoperable. And I'll give you an example of why that's important for here in eastern Oklahoma. Terrible opioid crisis.
Oh, yeah.
What this does is that if VA gave me 30 Tylenol 3 and I go to Broken Arrow or McAllister and somebody there prescribes something to make me sleep, but that individual has access now to the VA system and types in that I've just been given something to make me sleep, then an alarm is raised at VA. I am now on a spectrum that could lead to abuse, addiction, or something worse. So it's more than just a document that allows you to scan a person's record. It allows you to make inputs from the outside of the system, and it creates warning flags on issues like opioids and mental health. The Secretary and I are both committed to doing that, and that's why it has to work. And the days of people like my father walking around with an 800-page paper record have to be over.
Well, it seems just at first blush that this would, A, greatly facilitate the transition between active military and retirement and going into the VA system.
Yeah, absolutely.
And B, would greatly modernize, like you said, the distribution and access to those medical records and make it so much easier to treat folks. I'm guessing it's going to take some time to do this.
Yeah, it'll take a few years. We're testing it now. We're testing it out in Washington State, where General Mattis lives when he's not in the Pentagon. And we're testing it in Alaska. So it's being fielded with the cooperation of the U.S. Army and our VA offices up there in Washington State and Alaska.
All right. On the topic of consolidation, nice smooth segue into what just got announced here in Tulsa. The Eastern Oklahoma Veterans Affair Healthcare System is going to be consolidating into a big building. What can you tell us about that?
Yes. Well, that really is, and I'm going to take a step back. I mentioned at the beginning, spending a great portion of my life in this state. What's beautiful about coming back is that this is a state where you don't have to explain service. People know what soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines do, what veterans do, what they provide to the country. That facility in Tulsa is really the coming together of the community, the state, and VA to create really a modern medical center. Acute care, which is sort of the wave of the future, certainly where our younger veterans flock to, will be taken care of there in Tulsa, be able to provide a heck of a lot more services than they already do for about 40,000 veterans in the Tulsa, just in the Tulsa area alone. I don't remember the number for the entire system-wide area, but that's a lot of folks. And My guess is that because Oklahoma is such a military-friendly state and you have the presence of so many installations in the state, that number around Tulsa will probably grow.
Oh, yeah.
That's why we needed a bigger center. And it's an example of how a cooperative system should work.
Is it fair to say that it's also maybe a more holistic approach?
Absolutely.
To healthcare for our veterans?
Yes. Yes. And I like the way you say that. This is not my father's VA anymore. It's not a one-off visit or a one-off surgery. We are doing our best to keep up with advances in medical care, whereby we find, and that's part of the reason the electronic health record is so important, because it follows an entire life where you can go back and see maybe something happened here that causes a condition that you're treating now. So it's a very, very important and new way of looking at an individual's health.
So let's talk a little bit about, I mean, the VA has had some rough times recently. I don't think that comes as a surprise to anyone.
Right.
There's been some pretty ugly headlines.
Yeah.
We saw your predecessor leave under a cloud. And, I mean, you've got some challenges. And I was doing a little research in advance of this, and I came across a video that you recorded while you were still acting.
Yes.
Secretary, and you said, anybody who sits in this chair and thinks they has all the answers is in the wrong job. I may be paraphrasing, but
no, that's pretty close
to what you said. Yeah. So you basically said, hey guys, talking to the employees, those 370,000 people that work for the VA, I want to hear from you. I want your ideas. Was that part of the goal of this trip? And how are you
absolutely
reaching out to
so
your
let's,
folks?
I'll just talk about what I did at the benefits office here in Muskoka. I got the leadership and some of the people that I presented secretaries awards to, secretaries coins. And the first thing I asked them, well, I actually told them that my way of directing the department is that it's a bottom-up organization. So what I asked them, I said, if you have the opportunity, you're the secretary of the department, what would you ask the secretary, what do you need from the leadership to make your life easier, to make it easier for veterans? So that's a reason I think by the end of next week, I will have been in 19 states because I do believe, because of my military background, I do believe in walking the post, but listening. And you're right, people in the past, and I'm not casting aspersions on people before, but you get caught in that Washington trap. And you sit up there and you've got a nice desk. My desk happens to be the desk that was used by General Omar Bradley when he was the head of the Veterans Administration after World War II. That's a pretty heady thing. You get invited to all these parties.
And a guy they named a tank after. I mean, this is a fabled general.
A great
absolutely.
Great American. And, but if you sit up there, you run afoul of complacency. And you also run afoul of this I know you've got time limit, but
not at all.
Coming up with one-size-fits-all solutions. I'll give you an example. The needs of veterans here in Muskogee or in Tulsa are probably a lot different than they are from where my father spent his last years in the military at Fort Bragg as part of the 82nd Airborne Division and 18th Airborne Corps. The veterans coming out of Fort Bragg tend to be very young, but in their 8 or 9 years in the military, they're getting out because the wear and tear of jumping out of airplanes every month has gotten to them. So what do they need? When they go to the VA in Fayetteville, North Carolina, they need orthopedics. That's what they need.
Right.
Chiropractors, they need that. Here, you need primary care and internists and mental health professionals, because you have an older population than they have back there. But if you don't get out and talk to the leaders and also to the patients, they're going to sit up there and say, yeah, here's the formula that every VA medical center has to follow. And that's a prescription for not providing the best service.
Because different areas of the country and veterans who served in different ways require different care and different attention.
Absolutely.
That makes sense. How do you sort of rise above the politics? That's got to be one of the major challenges.
Well, yeah, but you know what? I said it in my confirmation hearing, and I said it in front of the Senate a few weeks ago in State of VA, and Secretary Mattis echoed this as well. There really are two departments, and I'm not playing Pollyanna, but there really are two departments that should be above partisan bickering. It's the one that I am the temporary custodian of, and it's Mattis's. And they both have national defense in common, because we are dealing with, for the most part, well, he is, America's young people. I'm dealing with those Americans as they get older and get out of the service. And it really shouldn't be a partisan issue. And it's sad, and I'm a pretty good military historian and political historian, that there's been a trend, and it really started back in the 60s, that veneer of nonpartisanship has been washed away, certainly at DOD. But my goal is, because it's a unique population, to make sure that I try to stay out of the partisan fights as much as possible.
I mean, you could go back further than that. Veterans were basically chased off out of Washington, D.C. when they went to camp there because they wanted their...
And Herbert Hoover, that's right.
Right. So, I mean, and I believe it was...
Eisenhower was trying to tell MacArthur, General, you probably shouldn't do this.
Yeah, but, you know, Doug was... Doug was a kind of a hard-charging kind of guy with no sense of humor.
That's right. But so, anyway...
go ahead.
I was going to say, I can't thank you enough for the time you've spent. And if you got one more question, I'm fine.
I have 1,000 more questions, but I know that I was supposed to take 10 minutes and we're almost at double that. And it's really your time that's more at stake here than mine. But I will ask you, moving forward, if you had to, you're familiar with the concept of elevator speech. If you had to give your elevator speech about what you'd like to see happen in the next, let's say, 10 years with the VA.
You've already mentioned one elevator speech that I've given. But I'll tell you what it would be. That we have a modern 21st century healthcare administration that puts veterans' health at the center, not the institution of the VA or any other group, but that it's the veterans' health and what that veteran needs. If that means staying within VA, yes, and most of our people want to stay within VA, or if it means allowing that veteran the opportunity to choose if he or she or their families think it's more convenient to stay at home, let them do that. But making this a modern healthcare administration, not something that General Bradley would recognize if he came back and walked into one of our hospitals.
And yet something that he'd look at and go, I'm proud of what you guys have done.
Yes, yes.
Secretary of Veteran Affairs Robert Wilkie. Special thanks to KRMG's Russell Mills for the interview. This is Oklahoma Perspective. For Cox Media Group, I'm Bert Williams.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.